KSOM Ontario.
And welcome back to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for December 1997.
This is the DX Change.
Bill Swiger at Route 1, Box 142A in Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330, area code 304-842-4635, is looking for a GE Super Radio 2. And he wants to sell his DL1 Plus Amp and Super MWDX5A phasing units, a Hewlett-Packard VLF comparator, a 4-foot HP loop antenna, a manual HP 8556A spectrum analyzer LF section, and a Radio Shack long-range TRF 12-656A. Randy Davis at 1905 Blackiston Mill Road in Jeffersonville, Indiana, 47130, is now offering his Ron Musco loop for only $55 plus shipping. Paul Swearingen would like to sell off some of his computers for collectible radio equipment, especially the Sony ICF-5900W or ICF-6500W. He has some Mac SEs with super drives, classics, SE30s, portables, even a few Apple IIes, plus printers, and a Radio Shack HD-1200, which is actually a Panasonic 8088 laptop with a 20-meg hard drive. Contact Paul at 2840 Southeast Illinois Avenue, Topeka, Kansas, 66605-1427, or call prepaid only, area code 785-266-5707. Yours truly has some items for sale. Cassette labels, 2 packs of tractor-fed cassette labels, 1,000 labels per package. Part number 22012 in pewter color. I purchased those for $20 and will sell them for $10 per pack or both packs for $17 plus postage. Also a broken pack of pewter and some white tractor-fed labels, over 1,200 labels for a total of $7 plus postage. And probably the easiest way to send those are by priority mail, which is $3. Does anyone use 360K floppy disks? If so, contact me for one heck of a deal. I also have some ham equipment available, so if you'd like to get a list of some of the goodies I have, just contact me here at the DX Audio Service, and I'll send you out something either on paper or on tape, and be sure to specify which one.
And now, Historical Moments in Radio, a collection of stories about the development of broadcasting on the AM radio dial. And today I want to share with you some of the nostalgia I felt this week looking through a White's radio log from 1947, 50 years ago. I must admit that I wasn't prepared to be reminded of all the changes that have occurred during these few years that I've been DXing, so now I can better appreciate why some of the good old days a number of us recall sound like gibberish to so many of the younger members of the club. You see, I was a New Englander in 1947, so looking through this book, my eyes naturally started in Boston for openers, and this is how the stations in Boston were set up, and of course, from my perspective, still should be. We've got WEEI, CBS at 590, of course, sure. 680, the biggie in Lawrence, WLAW, right where it should be, and then WHDH, 850 on your dial, keep listening all the while to WHDH Boston. They had a cute little jingle with those words. And WORL at 950, WBZ right there at 1030 from the Hotel Bradford, Boston, and WBZA, the Hotel Kimball, Springfield. That was right up to the minute, not too long ago. WCOP from Copley Square, downtown, they were at 1150 on the dial. Very modern studios, ABC's outlet in Boston, originated a lot of programs. WNAC, one of the network pioneers at 1260. And finally, that great music station at 1510 WMEX. Wow, geez. 8 stations, only one remains unscathed in the past 50 years. I won't go down the New York City list, but let's point out that these stations haven't changed. WMCA, WOR, WCBS, WINS, and WLIB, but the call letters of the other 9 stations have either moved to new frequencies or moved to new cities or have completely disappeared. Out in the Midwest, Cleveland, there were only 4 stations in Cleveland in 1947, and 2 of them remained just as they were, WHK and WTAM. And what's that you say? Oh, wait a minute. Okay, well, all right. Now look, WTAM, that's the biggie out there, of course. They had 3 or 4 other call signs in the last 50 years, but they're back to WTAM, so the newcomers to the hobby today may not miss 3WE or WKYC or any of the rest. Oh, dear. How many of you remember WJW at 850? The Living Sound. Or WGAR at 1220, where Don Imus got his start. Remember that? And you think I'm going to touch Cincinnati? No, I don't think I could figure that out with all the swaps they've made across the dot. Let's look at Chicago, though. Here are the stations from 50 years ago. WIND, all in English, at 560, of course. WMAQ, with those terrific NBC entertainment programs, at 670. WGN, the anchor of the Mutual Broadcasting System, and let's face it, the leader of the pack, at 720 on the dial. Still true. WBBM at 780, CBS, WAIT 820, WENR and WLS share at 890, but who cares? Those stations aren't going to amount to much. Yeah, right. 950, we got WAAF, WCFL, the Chicago Federation of Labor, at 1000 on the dial, and the Moody Bible Institute at 1110, same as today. WJJD, gee, a year ago that wouldn't have been a change, would it? 1160. The famous threesome were there 50 years ago, WCRW, WEDC, and WSBC, all at 1240. And WGES at 1390 ended the whole dial for Chicago, and that was it. You know, another fun thing to look at are the clear channels, and Mark Durenberg has been doing this just great, isn't it? 540 had CBK and Watrous. WSM was all alone at 650. WMAQ, by the way, was all alone at 670. 700 was only one station, WLW, the nation station. WGN was all by itself at 720. WCBS was the only station on 880. Yeah, no, I know what you're thinking, but Lexington, it wasn't on the air. WHO was alone at 1040. KMOX at 1120 had no competition on its frequency. And, well, here's another one, KXEL on everybody's dial at 1540. What can you say? Now, wait, you cry. What about WOAI at 1200? Well, it was the only U.S. station at 1200, but up in our neck of the woods in Vermont, CHEF in Granby, Quebec, was giving them all kinds of trouble. I could hear WOAI, but I could hear XERF, Paul Callinger, speaking. Remember him? It's 1570 on the dial. Oh, dear, what a wonderful time it was to be DXing. Radio listening was such a kick back there. And the rest is history. I'm John Belker.
If you're looking for a neat gift idea for this holiday season, why not consider a gift subscription to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service? It's real neat because not only do you give a gift, but you get one as well. Here's how it works. For every new member that you give a gift subscription to, you get 2 months added to your subscription of the DX Audio Service. If you sign up 2 people, that's 4 months. 3 people, that's 6 months. So it adds up real quick. Contact our publication center or me here at the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for more information. Let's get some information from you, the members, and listen to what's happening on our Muse line.
Hey there, DXers. This is Josh Owens from Brown Summit, North Carolina, on Thursday, October 30th. Just have finished listening to the November DXAS and have a correction for Mr. Ken Onischuk. The Hartford Whalers have moved to Greensboro for 2 years. They are called the Carolina Hurricanes. And no, they are not moving to Charlotte. They are moving to Raleigh, which will be their permanent home. And that's all we have. Enjoy the magazine. Thanks.
This is Tim Hendel in Huntsville. Some of you could imagine that I was very interested in the World Series since I lived in Miami for so many years. And it brought me face to face with something that I cannot explain. That is, I couldn't find the World Series anywhere locally on the radio. Not only that, I could only find 2 DX stations which were carrying it that I could get here, WFAN and WCCO. What does this mean? I'm not usually a baseball fan, so I was shocked by this. Does this mean that baseball has fallen so into disfavor that the radio doesn't carry it anymore unless it's a local team, even when it's the World Series? Or does it reflect more the fact that so many people watch it on television? Anyway, it sure was frustrating to me.
Hey there, DXers. This is Josh Owens from Brown Summit, North Carolina, with an X-band question. I was sitting across my radio a minute ago. By the way, it's about 6:10 p.m. on November 20th. And I came across a Spanish language station on 1700. Can someone tell me what it is? Because I've never found it before in my life. Thanks. Bye.
This is Tim Hendel. On Tuesday night, November the 4th, I found the first station operating on 1700 kilohertz, WCMQ in Miami, with Spanish language election results. Here's how it sounded.
Miami para CMQ, cadena nacional, les informó Cariz Roque.
This is WCMQ. Hi, this is Dave Marthouse in Brookneal, Virginia. I'd like to report another expanded AM band station. This time it's WCMQ in Miami, Florida. They're at 1700 kilohertz, and their format is Spanish music with frequent drop-ins. They identify themselves as a station that also is simulcasting an FM in Dade, Florida, and a station in Key West, Florida, which is also an FM. Again, that's WCMQ. Being heard very well here as we speak in Brookneal, Virginia, at around 5:30 in the evening on 1700 kilohertz. 7-3 in Good DX.
Greetings, IO service members. This is John Sanders. I have a question for Canada Chuck. What station are the Detroit Red Wings? Are going to be on AM or FM?
Hey there, DXers. This is Josh Owens from Brown Summit, North Carolina, with a shortwave question. I recorded this interval signal off of the radio this morning, and I cannot figure out what station it belongs to. Could someone tell me what this is?
Good morning. This is Pat Bollheimer, and I'm an NRC member. And I got two stations that switch. WDZ 1050 Decatur, Illinois, is no longer CNN headline. They are farm radio. And WTIM 1410 is going off on December the 13th, and they have moved to 97.3 as of today, and that's November 14th, 97. And I thank you for listening.
Hi, Fred. This is Tom Dimio in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. First of all, I want to congratulate Bruce Conti for being the columnist in the Popular Communications for the Broadcast DXing column. Enjoyed the first one and look forward to future ones. And secondly, Mark Dornberger, what kind of loop and what kind of receiver did you use for the band scan for the last couple of months? That was great. Looking forward to the remainder of it in the December issue. Thanks. Bye.
And those are our musings to the members on this edition of the DX Audio Service. If you are a DX Audio Service member and wish to muse, give us a call at 419-224-1609, 24 hours a day. And as we're coming to the end of 1997, perhaps it's time to take a look back at some of the things that we've done throughout the years. Myself, let's see, we have two children in the household now since the first edition was started back in 1985. Made one move, went from tape to digital. A lot of things going on here at the household. And I'd like to hear from you. Perhaps you have an interesting story you'd like to tell, a good DX catch. Maybe you were just in the right place at the right time and heard that mystical station that you've always been looking for. Give us a call on the Musings line and let us know about what kind of things have happened over the past couple years. And I think everyone will be interested to hear that. For everyone interested in hobby-type broadcasting, whether it's micro radio, pirate radio, Part 15, cable access TV, internet radio, etc., a new magazine called Hobby Broadcasting should be out sometime in February. It should be about 32 to 48 pages in an 8.5 by 11 format, featuring lots of how-to-do articles about personal broadcasting. Right now, it's up to the requesting articles and classified ads, selling of advertising and processing subscriptions part of it. It's likely to cost about $12 per year, and the author doesn't know what the price will be for outside the United States. But they should have some prices pretty soon posted on the RFI webpage pretty soon. For questions, you can contact A. Yoder, that's A-Y-O-D-E-R, at cvn.net to subscribe, submit ads, articles, etc. Or send them a letter at Cabinet Communications, Post Office Box 642, Mont Alto, that's M-O-N-T, second word A-L-T-O, Pennsylvania, 17237.
Hello, everyone. I'm Bruce Conti, and this is the International DX Audio Service Report for December.
Hello, DXers. This is TJ the DJ from Sycamore, Illinois. And, hey, I'd like to ask Bruce Conti, what's the good price to pay for a radio with all the features he mentioned in his segment? And if you're an apartment dweller, if you want a DX, and if you're an apartment dweller, what's the best you can do? The best I can do is my Sony 2010, And what's a good antenna?
Some excellent questions from TJ the DJ. First, on DX receivers with features that might include selectable IF filters, synchronous detection, passband tuning, a notch filter, and single sideband modes for ECSS reception, there are a number of tabletop models to choose from at prices ranging from around $600 to over $4,000. But typically, the most popular full-feature receivers are in the $1,000 range. I'll cite a few examples here, but this is by no means a blanket recommendation over other receivers. I do recommend test driving receivers first, either at a local dealer, or by trying a friend's receiver, or by attending a convention such as the ANARC convention at Culpsville. Let's start with the Yaesu FRG100B. This receiver features four modes, AM wideband with a 6 kHz IF, AM narrow with a 4 kHz IF, single sideband CW at 2.4 kHz, and an optional FM mode for amateur or utility work. A unique option is a wired remote control keypad with buttons arranged the same as a standard touch tone phone for easy tuning and memory recall. The price of the FRG100B runs around $600. The RL Drake company offers a model for around $700 called the SW8. This one also provides AM wide, narrow, and single sideband modes, but also has FM broadcast and air bands. The SW8 runs on AC or 6D cell batteries. Moving up to the $1,000 range, the Drake R8B at about $1,100 is a popular full-feature receiver, which includes five IF filters, passband tuning, selectable synchronous detection, audio notch filter, and tons of memory. The low HF 225 Europa is a European favorite. The 225 Europa features IF filters selected specifically for DXing and a telephone keypad-style remote control, just like the 100B. The folks at Low designed the user interface with the goal of taking a necessarily complex communications receiver and making it simple to operate. Unfortunately, that translated into less features, being without passband tuning and without an audio notch. Also, frequency display is rounded to 1 kHz. But it's also about half the size of the Drake R8B, and performance is comparable. The HF 225 Europa sells for about $1,100. Other receivers in the same price bracket worth considering are the Kenwood R5000 and the AOR AR7030. The 7030 is an interesting design in that it has a simple user interface, but with a deep menu system similar to software menus to get to all its features. Japan Radio Company also offers a feature-packed receiver, the NRD535, for around $1,200. But for an additional $500 or so, it can be upgraded with special bandwidth control and ECSS options. The upgraded model is called the NRD535D from Japan Radio. If you really have money to burn, Watkins Johnson has the receiver for you, the HF1000. This is a fully synthesized DSP receiver with over 50 available IF filter selections and 1 Hz tuning resolution. The price, around $3,800 or $4,400 with the optional RF input spectrum filter. There are many more receivers on the market worth considering, but this gives you an idea of what's out there. If you have a favorite, tell us about it on the Musings line, or drop me a line. If you'd like to learn more about various DX receivers, I'll give you the phone numbers of some national mail-order companies that you can call for catalogs packed with info. Grove Electronics, 704-837-9200. Universal Radio, 614-866-4267. And Electronics Equipment Bank, 703-938-3350. Now for TJ the DJ, who uses the Sony ICF-2010, that is a great receiver and one of the world's most popular portable communications receivers. The ICF-2010 has selectable synchronous detection that can't be beat. The 2010 sells for around $350, but to turn it into a really great DX machine, upgrade of the IF filters is recommended. Kiwa Electronics offers a Sony ICF-2010 upgrade kit that you can install yourself or have installed by Kiwa. The Kiwa phone number is 509-453-5492. By upgrading the filters, you'll be able to reduce interference or splatter from adjacent frequencies. Unfortunately, TJ, apartment living is not conducive to DXing. The best thing you can do is to run a couple of 100-foot or longer wires outdoors for antennas. That is, if the landlord will give you permission, and you have trees located away from power lines for the antenna wires. If you have a balcony or a park or recreation area in the apartment complex, DXing with temporary antennas might be an option. A loop antenna on the balcony might be enough to reduce apartment noise. Otherwise, the best thing to do is to find a remote site for mini de-expeditions where you can run a couple of wires up to beverage lengths. From Illinois, reception of the UK might be difficult, but you should be able to hear stations like Croatia on 1134, Spain on 684 and 855, and Saudi Arabia on 1521 kHz. You might also be able to catch some Trans-Pacific DX, along with Mexico, Central America, South America, and Caribbean DX. In fact, you probably have a better shot at Mexico and Central America from Illinois than I do here in New England. States has qualified for the World Cup soccer tournament in France to take place over the summer of 98. France will be broadcasting the games via the longwave station at 162 kHz from Alloy. Expect either Caracol or RCN from Colombia to be providing coverage for Spanish stations in the U.S., but there's plenty more action to come as qualifying matches continue, most notably as South and Central America playoffs continue. You can catch the excitement as only the Latin American stations deliver on Caracol stations at 700, 1100, and 1170 kHz or 5075 shortwave. More next time on the International DX Audio Service Report. I'm Bruce Conti, 73's Good DX, and happy holidays.
Thanks, Bruce. And on our CPC test calendar, KGEZ 600 in Kalispell, Montana, will conduct a DX test with 5,000 watts directional daytime pattern between 2 a.m. and 3 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on December the 1st. This test will include Morse code IDs. Reception reports may be sent to Mr. Tony Mulligan, Chief Engineer, Post Office Box 169, Kalispell, that's K-A-L-I-S-P-E-L-L, Montana, 59903. KGEZ requests a self-addressed stamped envelope be included with your QSL requests. Add one IRC for overseas DXers. Email may be sent to Mulligan, that's M-U-L-L-I-G-A-N, at cyberpost, S-Y-B-E-R-P-O-S-T, .net. KTFI on 1270 kHz in Twin Falls, Idaho, will conduct a DX test on December the 13th from 2 o'clock till 3 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Reception reports may be sent to KTFI Radio, 616 Blue Lakes Boulevard North, number 1270, Twin Falls, Idaho, that's two words, Twin Falls, 83301, or via email at bobj, B-O-B-J, at impactradio, I-M-P-A-C-T-R-A-D-I-O .com. Well, let's take a look at our DX time machine from the pages of DX News from 50 years ago. From the November 1st, 1947 DX News, Fred Van Voorhees of Flushing, New York, reported that the French Paris program heard well on 648 had an English portion daily at 4:30 to 5:30 p.m., and that Hornby, Sweden on 1131 played American records from 4:30 to 5 p.m. daily. From the November 8, 1947 DX News, it was announced that a year's subscription for $1 on Forrester's Loose Leaf Logbook, published by Art Forrester of Indianapolis, Indiana, would bring a log plus three or four updates as needed. From the November 15, 1947 DX News, Ernie Cooper of Brooklyn, New York, reported that after many tries, HHW on 1305 was logged from 5:45 to 6:30 p.m. On November 6, Al Maley of Highland Falls, New York, reported that the transatlantics were showing up daily at 5:15 to 6 p.m. From the November 22, 1947 DX News, George Holland of Plymouth, Indiana, reported hearing his first two Hawaiian stations, KGMB and KPOA, on the same morning after 18 years of DXing. 25 years ago, from the November 4, 1972 DX News, WTMC 640, touted as the first carrier current station in the United States, signed on in Boston to serve a public housing project. From the November 11th, 1972 DX News, Carter Schultz of Providence, Rhode Island is offering a Lafayette HA-700 receiver for $100. From the November 25th, 1972 DX News, Ernest Cooper of Brooklyn, New York, reported receiving a verification from Radio Rumbos at 670 kilohertz YVLL, a reception almost a year previous. From the November 25th, 1972 DX News, Jim Hayes of Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, reported a loud buzz obliterated all but the top of the dial at his location, but he was still able to log WCCF 1580 in Punta Gorda, Florida, at least tentatively. 10 years ago, from the November 2nd, 1987 DX News, Ray Moore bagged three Australians at his DX location in Walpole, Massachusetts on 1620 and 1629 on October the 14th, 1987. From the November 9th, 1987 DX News, Randy Sieber's article on medium wave field strength prediction methods ran in this issue of DX News. From the November 16th, 1987 DX News, Doug Lamerson of Hawaii reported KSAL 1150 on at 0750 on October the 19th for Kansas number 1. Also, a compilation of DX positions from all over the world ran at the bottom of the sunspot cycle. From November 16th, 1987 DX News, Ed Healy of St. Albans, New York reported Dominica 595 on November the 6th, 1987. And that's our DX Time Machine on this edition of the DX Audio Service. And for those of you that are wondering what happened to Market Scope on this edition, Phil's taking the month off to have some holidays with family, and we'll return on the January 1998 edition of the DX Audio Service. We also received notice that National Radio Club member John F. Peterson of Minot, Maine, passed away recently. Our sincerest condolences go out to his family. Paul Swearingen reports that he received requests from several Long Island DXers to replace their number 5 DX News magazine. So it seems that the DX News is having the same problems as we're having here on the tape side. In fact, Paul writes, "What's going on? Mail truck hijack? Perhaps we can file a complaint with the local United States Postal Service, which will do no good, no harm, but will annoy them about as much as our Long Island members have been annoyed. Might even get them to look for those missing DX News magazines." Paul also received feedback from Lance Thomas to the effect that increasing the postage rate to 51 cents, the correct AO rate in Canada, has sped up the delivery to his Canadian addressees by as much as a week. On the other hand, the impending postal strike in Canada may nullify that effect for some time. And also on the post office bashing angle, I was amused a bit by the post office's claim that several of our members do not exist. Now, what has been happening is I've been converting over the membership database from the old DBase 3 format to Microsoft Access. During that conversion, I thought it'd be nice to update the members' zip codes with Zip Plus 4 for those of you who have not given me your Zip Plus 4. And using the post office's software, I found that some were kicked back as not being valid. so I contacted the post office directly to get the information. Of all the postcards sent out, only 20% were returned by the postmaster, so I don't have complete zip codes for everyone. You might want to take a look at your label on your DX Audio Service box, and if it ends up with zip code -0000, I would appreciate it if you would contact your post office and find out what your correct zip plus 4 is. Please send those to me as soon as possible. But again, it's kind of funny that members we've had here for over a decade, according to the post office, don't exist. Speaking of mailing labels, you will note that I'm using some new labels on the packages. This is a result of changing our database program over to Microsoft Access, and that I'm now using a laser jet printer over the old dot matrix. Now, beginning in the January 1998 edition, after your last name, you will then see the date of your last tape that you will receive in parentheses. So if the date is /03/01/98, then your last DX Audio Service tape will be the March 1998 edition. According to Paul and from myself, email recently seems not to be 100% reliable either. Remember that if you're sending an item to the DX News publisher, Paul Swearingen, or to me here at the DX Audio Service via email, and you don't receive a confirmation back from us, we probably did not get it, and you need to resend it. Of course, allow 24 hours for confirmation. And speaking of internet, we're still working to get our internet email reflector back into shape. Just a few notes on that. We get that for free, and thus I can't really complain too much. Otherwise, the charge is $30 per month to the club. So I would prefer if we can all just kind of hang on, let the provider take care of the problem, get it solved. We'll have our email reflector back up and running as soon as possible. Meanwhile, don't send email and ask where it is, because now you know where it's at. As soon as we get it resolved, it will be back into operation. I might mention also here that if you haven't received your order for the National Radio Club AM log, don't despair. Ken is wrapping and shipping a record number of orders as quick as he can. But after a reasonable interval, say 5 weeks or so, if you still haven't received your order, a postcard inquiry to Ken might be in order. Also, DX Audio Service members, you can get that log on disk. Contact Ken Chatterton if you have a computer and can read an ASCII text file. You might want to contact Ken and get a copy of the brand new AM radio log. On our next edition, I hope to have information regarding our survey that was sent out and some of the things we're going to be changing on the DX Audio Service. One of the things that people have asked about is doing something like what Ed Potter does, the minis from members over the phone. And unfortunately, our telephone recording system that I have here, this digital system, does not really work too awful good for recording anything other than voice. In fact, you will note that if you try to play an air check or something which is compressed audio down the phone line, the telephone system thinks that it's noise or sees a constant level and thinks that it is a disconnect signal, and it does what it's supposed to do. It disconnects. Therefore, if you have something that you would like to send to us on the telephone and we could share with the rest of the membership, you can arrange with me here at the DX Audio Service to send that. Basically, all I need is to get a phone call from you or email, setting up a schedule, and then we can hook up on the telephone line, and I can record it here on our brand new Digital Hybrid 2 that we've got in the studio, and we can make it available to all the members. But again, don't call at 4 o'clock in the afternoon saying, oh, by the way, at 5 o'clock I'm going to send you this. Can't work that fast, because unfortunately, I've got some other schedules and things I've got to keep, so please, let's set it up ahead of time, and we can do it. Also, some of the things we're working on here in the DX Audio Service studio for next edition and future After Darks and stuff, we are working on After Dark number 8, and also a project on the quality of radio. And we also have a very in-depth article that we're doing on internet, that is, your access to information on the internet, the do's and don'ts, some security things, and also dealing with information aspects on the Internet. Should be a very interesting article. Have several experts who are going to be speaking to us, and this will be available on tape. Just a few things we're working on here at the DX Audio Service. Well, I thought during the Christmas season we'd take a look at some items from the Publication Center, and on the telephone is Ken Chatterton. Ken, do you have any snow up there in Mansville?
Well, about 6 inches.
That's not bad. We've got just a dusting here in Lima. Why don't you tell us a little bit about some of the items from the Publication Center? I understand we still have some letter openers available.
Yes, we do. They have the club logo on them, and they're $1.75 apiece. We also still have the C-10, 10-minute cassette tapes, and those are $7.50 for 10 of them. We have 90-minute cassettes, which are $9 for 10. We also have the 4 cassette binders, the same ones that are used for the After Dark service. Those we can offer at this time for $4.50 each. And we have the 12 cassette binders, which would be ideal for storing a year's worth of DX audio service. And those are $7.75. And we have one special offer to make at Christmas time. And that is one 12 cassette binder complete with 12 90-minute black cassette tapes. That's $17.50.
Sounds like a heck of a deal. Let me ask you about some of the publications that we have. Do you have After Dark editions available?
Yes, we have all, I believe it's 7 now, but we do have all of them available.
And I understand the world-famous National Radio Club AM Log is out, and people can purchase that in print at the present time. Do you have copies available of that?
Yes, we do. That is $16.95 for members.
And what about Log On Disc? Is that still available for members?
Yes, it is.
And what about some of the other books that the Publication Center has, such as Getting Started in Medium Wave DXing? Is that a nice book that someone might want to give around this Christmas time?
It would be a good book for anyone who is just beginning in the hobby. It gives them an idea of what is out there and how to go about listening for it.
What about some of the other books that I understand Mark Conley's got a new one out?
That one is the Seasons of DXpeditions. It includes several of the DXpeditions that Mark Conley has been on, plus also includes information on several that were conducted in Northern Europe. I believe one of them was in Scotland, and the other two might have been in Northern Finland. It's very interesting what those people are hearing from over here.
Any other interesting books available from the Publication Center?
Well, of course, we have our nighttime antenna pattern books. We still have the loop antenna manual, antenna reference manuals, volume 1 and 2. We have the beverage antenna book. We have a book on crystal radios, our challenging crystal set book. Well, I guess those are the main ones right now.
Now, doesn't the antenna reference manual have diagrams of, like, small loop antennas that people can build?
Yes, it does.
And also, I guess, long wire antennas, too.
Yeah, that would be in the beverage book.
And all these items are available from the Publication Center, right?
Right.
And how would somebody contact you to obtain these items?
Well, they'd have to use the address. We would like to set up a credit card deal, but we just aren't big enough to make these big banks happy, you know. If they don't make enough profit, they won't let us do it.
I can understand that.
So, mail orders are the only way. And, of course, the address here is just the NRC, Post Office Box 164, Mansville, New York, 13661. If anybody wants a catalog, we'll be glad to send it out to them. Unfortunately, the only one we have is a print version.
What about telephone number if someone has a question?
The telephone number here is 315-387-3583.
And what's the best time to get a hold of you?
Almost any time. I may be in or out. There is an answering machine on the thing, but I really can't answer too many long-distance calls. But if you are calling for a catalog, if you leave your name and complete address, I'll get one right off to you. Probably, if you want to talk to me, the best time would be in the evening, anytime after 6 and before 11 Eastern Time.
And don't forget that a gift subscription to the DX Audio Service is nice, because not only do you give a gift, but you get one as well by getting 2 months added to your DX Audio Service subscription
by signing up a new member to the DX Audio Service. And if you'd like to get a hold of Ken, the address again is Ken Chatterton, care of the National Radio Club's Publication Center, Post Office Box 164, Mansville, New York, 13661 in the USA. Well, let's catch up on some more news and notes from the National Radio Club here. And first of all is something I just received on the Internet here this afternoon as we're putting together Side 2. From the publisher of DX News Magazine, Paul Swearingen writes, "We're holding all Canadian members' DX News magazines, per the recommendation by Sean Axelrod, until the Canadian postal strike is resolved. Sean felt that there was some danger in DX News magazines being lost and or never delivered if we mail during the strike. So we'll send them out probably in one package as soon as the situation is resolved. If it drags on too long, then we'll just have to find an alternative way to deliver them to the members. I think what we're going to do is we're going to try sending our tapes to our Canadian members on this edition, but if they don't get them, we'll just have to find, again, the alternative way to deliver them." I don't know how many people heard this. The tribute to Arthur Cushion, which was put on by Radio Netherlands and Media Network. And I have to say that Deanna and Jonathan, you did an absolute wonderful job in that tribute to Arthur Cushion, who passed away several months ago from cancer. Arthur was probably one of the premier DXers in the shortwave radio field and also dabbled in medium wave. And if you have not heard this tribute, I suggest you listen to it by some means. If you know somebody who has a copy, and if you don't have it and don't know of somebody who has a copy, we do. So if you would like a copy of the tape, just send us a blank C60 tape and 55 cents postage and your address, of course. And what we'll do is we'll make a copy of the program and send it back to you. It is absolutely fantastic. And Jonathan, Deanna, you do have congratulations going to you for that nice tribute. ANARC Executive Board Chairman Mark Meese is announcing that nominations for Hobbyist of the Year awards are being accepted and should be forwarded to the National Radio Club ANARC representative, which is Dave Schmidt. Dave's address is Dave Schmidt, S-C-H-M-I-D-T, Post Office Box 11502, Wilmington, Delaware, 19850-1502. And you need to send that before December the 31st, which is the deadline for nominating someone. If you would like to nominate someone, please give Dave their name and also tell him a little bit about why you nominated that person. I think they'd like to know. And by the way, the 11th annual Winter SWL Fest in Culpsville, Pennsylvania is going to be fast approaching. Now, the fest is slated for March the 12th through the 14th, 1998. And Mark Meese says that you better make your reservations now because he understands that space at the Culpsville Holiday Inn is filling up fast. So be sure to take care of that. Why not nominate somebody that you think has done a wonderful job in perhaps the DXing field, or a DXer that you know that has done an absolute phenomenal job on getting a full log of stations. And send that nomination to Dave Schmidt. Again, the address, Post Office Box 11502, Wilmington, Delaware, 19850-1502. In our final moments of the DX Audio Service for 1997, I'd just like to say a few things. A sincere thank you to all the members who have stood by the DX Audio Service for so many years and who have really made it worth our while to put together the magazine, through their letters and cards and email and just letting us know that they appreciate our efforts. A big thank you to the members who have supported the editors by sending in material and helping to make this magazine grow throughout the years with their contributions of information. I personally would like to thank many members who were very concerned about my health problems back in February and wrote to express hopes that everything would turn out okay, and rest assured, I think they have. And also to the many members who have supported us by answering the survey that we just sent out. I think this will help us gain a lot of information into what you want in the magazine and what kind of information you would like to hear in future editions of the DX Audio Service. And, you know, please take it to heart. We're going to listen to what you've said. I think we have a lot of the questions answered that we wanted to know. Probably the only thing that we really didn't get a good response on was one of the questions asking if there was something that you want read to tape which was not available elsewhere. And if answering yes, what is it? A lot of people answered yes, but they didn't tell us what it is. We'll just say that anytime you have any suggestions or things that you feel should be brought to the attention of the powers that be, the power that be is myself, and feel free to drop me a card or a letter, a phone call, or email, in fact. And we'll address that. We'll take all your suggestions to heart and see if we can make things work a little bit better. We should have the results of the survey out on the next edition of the DX Audio Service, and what we'll try to do is start moving in that direction and making the magazine exactly what you would like it to be. I would urge our members that keep in mind we have a project that we're working on as a membership booklet, which will be available to both new members and to existing members of the DX Audio Service, just to tell them a little bit about what National Radio Club life is like and the different policies, procedures, and things that we have. And if you have any questions about anything concerning the policy or your status with the club, be sure to let me know about those as soon as possible so we can include those in this publication, which will be available in both print and on audio cassette to anyone who wants one. And finally, on our next edition of the DX Audio Service, we will be going to press just a little bit earlier than normal because of the holiday season, and hopefully that way the tapes will get to you before the Christmas time. I'm not sure if they will or not, but we'll try, and you'll have them in plenty of time for 1998. That's it. And that's all. We have no more, and we're going to get back to other things. Thank you for listening to the DX Audio Service. Thank you for supporting it. We'll just say 73, good DX, and get out there and support radio.